Chapter 4. The Characteristic of Lopa. Cheetahs are of different types. They can be classified as Kosla cheetahs, wholesome cheetahs, Akosla cheetahs, unwholesome cheetahs, Wipaka cheetahs which are result, and Kiria cheetahs which are neither cause nor result. All these kinds of cheetahs arise in a day, yet we know so little about them. Most of the time, we do not know whether the cheetah is Kosla, Akosla, Wipaka, or Kiria. If we learn to classify our mind, we will have more understanding of ourselves and of others. We will have more compassion and loving kindness towards others, even when they behave in a disagreeable way. We do not like the Akosla cheetahs of others. We find it unpleasant when they are stingy or speak harsh words. However, do we realize at which moments we ourselves have Akosla cheetahs? When we dislike other people's harsh words, we ourselves have Akosla cheetahs with aversion at that moment. Instead of paying attention to the Akosla cheetahs of others, we should be aware of our own Akosla cheetahs. If one has not studied the Abhidhamma, which explains realities in detail, one may not know what is Akosla. People may take what is unwholesome for wholesome, and thus accumulate unwholesomeness without knowing it. If we know more about different types of cheetah, we can see for ourselves which types arise more often, Kosla cheetahs or Akosla cheetahs, and thus we will understand ourselves better. We should know the difference between Kosla and Akosla. The Atisalini, Book 1, Part 1, Chapter 1, 38, speaks about the meaning of the word Kosla. The word Kosla has many meanings. It can mean of good health, faultless, skillful, productive of happy results. When we perform dana, generosity, sila, good moral conduct, and bhavana, mental development, the cheetah is Kosla. All different kinds of wholesomeness, such as the appreciation of other people's good deeds, helping others, politeness, paying respect, observing the precepts, studying and teaching dhamma, samatha, that is, tranquil meditation, and vipassana, that is, development of insight, right understanding of realities, are included in dana, sila, or bhavana. Kosla is productive of happy results. Each good deed will bring a pleasant result. The Atisalini, Book 1, Part 1, Chapter 1, 39, states about Akosla, and here I quote, Akosla means not Kosla. Just as the opposite to friendship is enmity, or the opposite to greed, etc., is disinterestedness, etc., so Akosla is opposite to Kosla, end of quote. Unwholesome deeds will bring unhappy results. Nobody wishes to experience an unhappy result. But many people are ignorant about the cause which brings an unhappy result, about Akosla. They do not realize when the cheetah is unwholesome, and they do not always know it when they perform unwholesome deeds. When we study the Abhidhamma, we learn that there are three groups of Akosla cheetahs. They are Lopa Mula cheetahs, or cheetahs rooted in attachment, Lopa. Dosa Mula cheetahs, or cheetahs rooted in aversion, dosa. Moha Mula cheetahs, or cheetahs rooted in ignorance, moha. Moha, ignorance, arises with every Akosla cheetah. Akosla cheetahs rooted in lopa, attachment, actually have two roots, moha and lopa. They are named Lopa Mula cheetahs, because there is not only moha which arises with every Akosla cheetah, but lopa as well. Lopa mulachitas are thus named after the root, which is lopa. Akusachitas rooted in dosa aversion have two roots as well, moha and dosa. They are named dosa mulachitas after the root, which is dosa. Akusachitas rooted in moha, ignorance, have only one root, which is moha. Each of these three classes of akusachitas includes again different types of akusachita, and thus we see that there is a great variety of chittas. Now I shall deal first with lopa mulachita. Lopa is a paramata dhamma, absolute reality, which is jetasika, mental factor arising with the chitta. It is reality, and thus it can be experienced. Lopa is clinging or attachment. The Visuddhimagga, chapter 14, 163, states, and here I quote, "Lopa has the characteristic of grasping an object. Like bird lime, literally monkey lime, its function is sticking, like meat put in a hot pan. It is manifested as not giving up, like the dye of lamp black. Its proximate cause is seeing enjoyment in things that lead to bondage. Swelling with the current of craving, it should be regarded as taking beings with it to states of loss, as a swift flowing river does to the great ocean." End of quote. Lopa is sometimes translated as greed or craving. It can be translated by different words, since there are many degrees of lopa. Lopa can be coarse, medium, or subtle. Most people can recognize lopa when it is very obvious, but not when it is of a lesser degree. For example, we can recognize lopa when we are inclined to eat too much of a delicious meal, or when we are attached to alcoholic drinks and cigarettes. We are attached to people, and we suffer when we lose those who are dear to us through death. Then we can see that attachment brings sorrow. Sometimes attachment is very obvious, but there are many degrees of lopa, and often we may not know that we have lopa. Chittas arise and fall away very rapidly, and we may not realize it when lopa arises on account of what we experience in daily life through the six doors, especially if the degree of lopa is not as intense as greed or lust. Every time there's a pleasant sight, sound, odor, taste, or tangible object, lopa is likely to arise. It arises many times a day. Lopa arises when there are conditions for its arising. It is beyond control. In many suttas, the Buddha speaks about lopa, points out the dangers of it, and the way to overcome it. The pleasant objects which can be experienced through the five senses are in several suttas called the five strands of sense pleasures. We read in the Maha Dukkha Kanda Sutta, Greater Discourse on the Stems of Anguish, Middle Length, Sayings 1, Number 13, that the Buddha, when he was staying near Savatthi in the Jeta Grove, said to the monks, and here I quote, "And what, monks, is the satisfaction and pleasure of the senses? These five, monks, are the strands of sense pleasures. What five? Visible objects, cognizable by the eye, agreeable, pleasant, liked, enticing, connected with sensual pleasures, alluring. Sounds, cognizable by the ear. Smells, cognizable by the nose. Tastes, cognizable by the tongue. Touches, cognizable by the body, agreeable, pleasant, liked, enticing, connected with sensual pleasures, alluring. These, monks, are the five strands of sense pleasures. Whatever pleasure, whatever happiness arises in consequences of these five strands of sense pleasures, this is a satisfaction in sense pleasures." End of quote. The satisfaction in sense pleasures is not true happiness. Those who do not know the Buddha's teachings may think that attachment is wholesome, especially when it arises with pleasant feeling. They may not know the difference between attachment and loving-kindness, metta, phenomena which may both arise with pleasant feeling. However, a citta accompanied by pleasant feeling is not necessarily kusala citta. When we learn more about akusala cittas and kusala cittas, and when we are mindful of their characteristics, we will notice that the pleasant feeling which may arise with lopa mula citta, that is, citta rooted in attachment, is different from the pleasant feeling which may arise with kusala citta. Feeling, vedana, is a jetasika which arises with every citta. When the citta is akusala, the feeling is also akusala. And when the citta is kusala, the feeling is also kusala. We may be able to know the difference between the characteristic of the pleasant feeling arising when we are attached to an agreeable sight or sound, and the characteristic of the pleasant feeling arising when we are generous. The Buddha pointed out that lopa brings sorrow. When we lose people who are dear to us, or when we lose the things we enjoy, we have sorrow. If we are attached to a comfortable life, we may have aversion when we have to endure hardship, or when things do not turn out the way we want them to be. We read in the Greater Discourse on the Stems of Anguish, which was quoted above, that the Buddha spoke to the monks about the dangers in the pleasures of the senses, and I quote, "And what, monks, is the peril in sense pleasures? In this case, monks, a young man of family earns his living by some craft. He is afflicted by the cold. He is afflicted by the heat, suffering from the touch of gadflies, mosquitoes, wind, sun, creeping things, dying of hunger and thirst. This, monks, is a peril in pleasures of the senses that is present, a stem of ill. If, monks, this young man of family rouses himself, exerts himself, strives thus, but if these possessions do not come to his hand, he grieves, mourns, laments, beating his breast and wailing. He falls into disillusionment and thinks, indeed my exertion is in vain. Indeed my striving is fruitless. This, too, monks, is a peril in the pleasures of the senses that is present. And again, monks, when sense pleasures are the cause, kings dispute with kings, nobles dispute with nobles, Brahmins dispute with Brahmins, householders dispute with householders, a mother disputes with her son disputes with his mother, a father disputes with his son. A son disputes with his father. A brother disputes with a brother. A brother disputes with a sister. A sister disputes with a brother. A friend disputes with a friend. Those who enter into quarrel, contention, dispute, and attack one another with their hands and with stones and with sticks and with weapons, these suffer dying then, and pain like unto dying. This, too, monks, is a peril in the pleasures of the senses that is present." End of quote. We then read about many more perils in pleasures of the senses, and about the bad results they will cause in the future. The Buddha also explained about the satisfaction and peril in material shapes. We read, and I quote, "And what, monks, is the satisfaction in material shapes? Monks, it is like a girl in a noble's family, or a Brahmin's family, or a householder's family, who at the age of 15 or 16 is not too tall, not too short, not too thin, not too fat, not too dark, not too fair. Is she, monks, at the height of her beauty and loveliness at that time? Yes, Lord. Monks, whatever happiness and pleasure arise because of beauty and loveliness, this is satisfaction in material shapes. And what, monks, is peril in material shapes? As to this, monks, one might see that same lady after a time 80 or 90 or 100 years old, aged, crooked as a rafter, bent, leaning on a stick, going along palsied, miserable, youth gone, teeth broken, hair thinned, skin wrinkled, stumbling along, the limbs discolored. And again, monks, one might see that same lady, her body thrown aside in a cemetery, dead for 1, 2, or 3 days, swollen, discolored, decomposing. What would you think, monks? That which was former beauty and loveliness has vanished. A peril has appeared. Yes, Lord. This, too, monks, is a peril in material shapes. End of quote. What the Buddha told the monks may sound crude to us, but it is reality. We find it difficult to accept life as it really is. Birth, old age, sickness, and death. We cannot bear to think of our own body or the body of someone who is dear to us as being a corpse. We accept being born, but we find it difficult to accept the consequences of birth, which are old age, sickness, and death. We wish to ignore the impermanence of all conditioned things. When we look into the mirror, and when we take care of our body, we are inclined to take it for something which stays and which belongs to us. However, the body is only rupa, elements which fall away as soon as they have arisen. There is no particle of the body which lasts. One may cling to the body with wrong view. In Pali, ditti. Ditti is a jetasika which can arise with lopamula citta rooted in attachment. Sometimes there is lopa without wrong view, ditti, and sometimes with wrong view. There are different kinds of ditti. The belief in a self is one kind of ditti. We may cling to mental phenomena as well as to physical phenomena with the wrong view of self. Some people believe that there is a self who exists in this life and who will continue to exist after this lifespan is over. This is the eternity belief. Others believe in a self who, existing only in this life, will be annihilated after this lifespan is over. This is the annihilation belief. Another form of ditti is the belief that there is no gamma which produces vipaka, that deeds do not bring their results. There have always been people in different countries who think that they can be purified of their imperfections merely by ablution in water or by prayers. They believe that the results of ill deeds they committed can thus be warded off. They do not know that each deed can bring about its own result. We can only purify ourselves of imperfections if the wisdom is cultivated which can eradicate them. If one thinks that deeds do not bring about their appropriate results, one may easily be inclined to believe that the cultivation of wholesomeness is useless. This kind of belief may lead to ill deeds and to the corruption of society. There are 8 types of lopamula cittas, and of these, 4 types arise with wrong view, ditti. In Pali, dittigata sampayuta. Sampayuta means associated with. 4 types of lopamula citta arise without wrong view. In Pali, dittigata vipayuta. Vipayuta means dissociated from. As regards the feeling which accompanies the lopamula citta, lopamula cittas can arise either with pleasant feeling or indifferent feeling, never with unpleasant feeling. Of the 4 types of lopamula citta, which are accompanied by ditti, Two types arise with pleasant feeling, somanasa. In Pali, somanasa sahagata. Sahagata means accompanied by. Two types arise with indifferent feeling, upeka. In Pali, upeka sahagata. For example, when one clings to the view that there is a self who will continue to exist, the citta can be accompanied by pleasant feeling or by indifferent feeling. Of the four lupa mula cittas arising without ditti, two types are accompanied by pleasant feeling and two types are accompanied by indifferent feeling. Thus, of the eight types of lupa mula cittas, four types arise with pleasant feeling and four types arise with indifferent feeling. In classifying lupa mula cittas, there is yet another distinction to be made. Lupa mula cittas can be unprompted, asankarika, or prompted, sasankarika. Asankarika can be translated as unprompted, not induced, or spontaneous. Sasankarika can be translated as prompted or induced. The Visuddhimagga, chapter 14, paragraph 91, states about lupa mula citta that it is sasankarika when it is with consciousness which is sluggish and urged on. The lupa mula cittas, which are sasankarika, can be prompted by the advice or request of someone else, or they arise induced by one's own previous consideration. Even when they are induced by one's own consideration, they are sasankarika. The cittas are sluggish and urged on. Of the four lupa mula cittas arising with ditti, two types are unprompted, asankarika, and two types are prompted, sasankarika. As regards the lupa mula cittas arising without ditti, two types are unprompted, asankarika, and two types are prompted, sasankarika. Thus, of the eight types of lupa mula cittas, four types are unprompted and four types are prompted. It is useful to learn the Pali terms and their meaning, because the English translation does not render the meaning of realities very clearly. The eight types of lupa mula cittas are 1. Accompanied by pleasant feeling with wrong view, unprompted. Somanasa, sahagatam, ditigata, sampayutam, asankarikam, igam. 2. Accompanied by pleasant feeling with wrong view, prompted. Somanasa, sahagatam, ditigata, sampayutam, sasankarikam, igam. 3. Accompanied by pleasant feeling, without wrong view, unprompted. Somanasa sahagatam, ditigata vipayutam, asankarikam igam. 4. Accompanied by pleasant feeling, without wrong view, prompted. Somanasa sahagatam, ditigata vipayutam, sasankarikam igam. 5. Accompanied by indifferent feeling, with wrong view, unprompted. Upeka sahagatam, ditigata sampayutam, asankarikam igam. 6. Accompanied by indifferent feeling, with wrong view, prompted. Upeka sahagatam, ditigata sampayutam, sasankarikam igam. 7. Accompanied by indifferent feeling, without wrong view, unprompted. Upeka sahagatam, ditigata vipayutam, asankarikam igam. And 8. Accompanied by indifferent feeling, without wrong view, prompted. Upeka sahagatam, ditigata vipayutam, sasankarikam igam. As we have seen, lupa mula cittas can be unprompted or prompted. The Atisalini, Book 2, Part 9, Chapter 3, Paragraph 225, gives an example of lupa mula cittas accompanied by ditti, which are prompted. A son of a noble family marries a woman who has wrong views, and therefore he associates with people who have wrong views. Gradually he accepts those wrong views, and then they are pleasing to him. Lopamulachitas without ditti, which are sasakarika, arise, for example, when one, though not at first, not attached to alcoholic drinks, takes pleasure in it after someone else persuades one to drink. As we have seen, lopamulachitas can be accompanied by pleasant feeling or by indifferent feeling. Lopamulachitas without ditti, accompanied by pleasant feeling, can arise, for example, when we enjoy ourselves while seeing a beautiful color or hearing an agreeable sound. At such moments, we can be attached without wrong view about realities. When we enjoy beautiful clothes, go to the cinema, or laugh and talk with others about pleasurable things, there can be many moments of enjoyment without the idea of self, but there can also be moments of ditti, moments of clinging to a self. Lopamulachitas without ditti, accompanied by indifferent feeling, may arise, for example, when we like to stand up or like to take hold of different objects. Since we generally do not have happy feeling with these actions, there may be lopa with indifferent feeling at such moments. Thus we see that lopa often motivates the most common actions of our daily life. Questions for Chapter 4. 1. When there is lopa, is there always pleasant feeling, somanasa, as well? 2. Does ditti, wrong view, arise only with lopamulachita? 3. How many types of lopamulachita are there? Why is it useful to know this? End of Chapter 4.